From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In the run-up to this fall's midterm elections, House Republicans are focusing on a short list of vulnerable Democratic seats. And near the top of that list is a first-term congressman from Orlando, Florida. Alan Grayson represents a district that, until his election, had long been Republican. Instead of playing it safe, Grayson quickly became known as one of the House's most outspoken liberals, unafraid to attack Republicans. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, Grayson's hard-charging style hasn't just made him a target, it's made him a tough guy to beat.
Even if you're not from Florida, you've probably heard of Alan Grayson. If you're having trouble placing him, this might jog your memory.
If you get sick, America, the Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick.
That speech on the floor of Congress last year during debate on the health care overhaul quickly went viral. Those and many other comments earned Grayson the enmity of conservatives and Tea Party proponents. But they also made him a favorite with liberals and a regular on cable news shows. He says there's a simple reason why he's become a Democratic hero.
I told the truth. Remarkably, that's an unusual thing in Washington, D.C. these days. I didn't expect it to be that way. But what people say to us over and over again is, you are saying the things that I've been thinking, but no one else has been saying. And that's gotten us a national reputation.
Grayson's no stranger to a fight. He talks about how he grew up in public housing in the Bronx and then put himself through Harvard. As a lawyer, he made his reputation earlier this decade filing and winning lawsuits on behalf of whistleblowers against defense contractors charged with fraud and corruption. He's one of the wealthiest members in the House. In November, Grayson is facing a tested opponent, longtime Republican state legislator Dan Webster. 2 years ago, Grayson largely self-funded his campaign. But since then, he's become one of the House's top Democratic fundraisers, bringing in over $4 million so far. Perhaps just as important, he has a well-organized field operation. At a union hall in Orlando, more than 50 campaign volunteers and staff are stuffing envelopes, assembling yard signs, and working phone banks. Volunteer coordinator Frank Hagedis says volunteers have been canvassing households 5 days a week since last October and have already covered every inch of the district. Hagedis says the job now is different than when he started as a volunteer for Grayson in 2008.
Last election, it was mostly us telling people who Alan Grayson was. This election, everybody knows who Alan Grayson is. And it's either, you know, they love him or they hate him or they just don't know about him. So it's mostly of just IDing the voters and finding out, you know, which side they are, really.
This area around Orlando, the heart of what's often referred to as the I-4 corridor, is an important swing area, and it's changing with a fast-growing Hispanic population. For the first time in years, registered Democrats now outnumber registered Republicans. Even with the changing demographics, for Grayson and for Democratic incumbents generally, this is a tough election year. Discontent among conservatives and Tea Party insurgents, combined with a lack of energy on the left, leads some Democrats to worry about an enthusiasm gap. And Grayson has another problem, opposition from some well-funded outside political groups.
Tell Alan Grayson and Suzanne Cosmas, Florida can't afford Nancy Pelosi's failed policies.
Americans for Prosperity, a conservative group founded by oil billionaire David Koch, is running ads against Grayson and fellow Florida House Democrat Suzanne Cosmas. In addition, the National Republican Congressional Committee is spending over $800,000 on TV ads in Grayson's district. Grayson's Republican opponent, 61-year-old Dan Webster, notes a bit wryly, he's been named one of the Republican young guns.
Well, I don't know how young I am, but I think the Grayson seat's certainly something that they believe could be a win, but also it's something that's probably one of the higher priorities.
Dan Webster is a conservative who served much of the area for 20 years as a state legislator. He's a devout Baptist with strong anti-abortion views who, as a state legislator, avoided holding political events on Sundays. He also was one of the leaders of the attempt by the state legislature to intervene in the Terri Schiavo case. The ideological differences between him and Grayson couldn't be more clear. But Webster says that's not what this race is about.
I think it's a referendum on Washington. Washington is broken, and there's not a whole lot of people that disagree with that. And the process is broken. They don't even read the bills. They don't get a chance to make up their own mind. They're just told what to do. I mean, Grayson's voted with Pelosi 98% of the time. And, you know, that's they're in this together.
Webster acknowledges that Grayson won't be a pushover, and he faces another challenge. Peg Dunmeyer is a third-party candidate running on the Florida Tea Party ticket. She's working to channel some of that anti-Washington anger into support for her campaign. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.